Greetings, Grace family. Mark Page here with our weekly encouragement. I hope you all are safe and sound on this wet and rainy week. As you all know, we are in the midst of Holy Week, the week between Palm Sunday and Easter, which is this coming Sunday, and it's hard to believe that Easter is almost here, and even harder to imagine not being able to gather together for that celebration. But of course, circumstances have dictated otherwise, so we want to make every effort to enter into this special time together as best we can, even as we're apart physically. And this coming Friday is, of course, Good Friday, the day we draw our attention to the death on the cross of Jesus, our Savior. It was a dreadful day on so many levels, yet it was all a part of God's glorious plan to bring redemption and the forgiveness of sins to his people. Good Friday is a day worth sitting in and not letting it slip by without thoughtful meditation. And we want to come alongside you to that end, and so we will be recording a Good Friday service patterned after the services we traditionally do each year. So stay tuned for an email, text, or social media communications with a link so we can observe this solemn yet utterly gracious day as a church family. Well, if you've been tuning in to these midweek devotional encouragements, you know we've been exploring the profound I am statements that Jesus made. And today we will be taking a deeper look at the statement Jesus makes that is found in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 11. Let me read it for you. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For most of us, I imagine, the image of Jesus as a shepherd is quite familiar. Psalm 23, probably the most popular chapter in all the Bible, is a passage we've heard countless times. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a chapter that has brought comfort and peace to millions upon millions of people over the years. Today, I want to shed some light on a few of the implications of what it means for Jesus to be our shepherd. The first implication of Jesus being our shepherd is that in this metaphor, if Jesus is our shepherd, then we must be his sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, that's not a flattering similarity. The resume of sheep is not very impressive. Sheep lack a sense of direction. They easily get lost. They don't have any real defenses, no claws or sharp teeth to defend themselves. They don't have any natural camouflage. They can't run very fast on those spindly legs. Sheep are unable to find their own nourishment of food or water. And ever hear one growl? Nope. This is what they sound like. Now that's not going to do much to scare anything away. To put it bluntly, sheep aren't the sharpest tool in the shed. What this means is sheep need a shepherd to survive. In our passage, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, shepherd imagery was common in many parts of the ancient world, with kings and gods described as shepherds. And for the Israelites, the role of a shepherd became synonymous with spiritual leadership as well. And it goes without saying that history has revealed plenty of examples of not-so-good shepherds, even terribly evil shepherds. So when Jesus emphasizes in our passage that he is a good shepherd, that statement is a thinly veiled criticism of the religious leaders of the day who were failing those they were meant to serve. Jesus being a good shepherd means he knows our need for him. He knows our vulnerability. He knows our tendencies, and he is there to guide and protect us. Do we trust that Jesus is our good shepherd? And can we acknowledge what Jesus reminds us in John 15 when he said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing"? The problem we often have is that, well, we really don't believe it, do we? Everything in our heart militates against that. We might like the sound of the Lord is my shepherd. It may bring some sentimental comfort, but deep down, we often live like we really hate it. You know, most of us have a fairly high view of ourselves, don't we? We basically think we're a pretty good person, that we're smarter than most, that we're able to make the right decision when we need to. You see, we really don't need a shepherd. And most of us don't want a shepherd either. What we want is a consultant. Someone we can call on when we're in a pinch. Someone we can engage on an as-needed basis. But a shepherd is not like that. A shepherd lives with the sheep and sleeps with the sheep. The shepherd does everything for the sheep. The shepherd is the sheep's protector and provider and physician and leader and guide and owner. The shepherd is everything to the sheep. Consider what that means. Aren't there areas of your life in which you, instead of being a sheep, are saying, Lord, over here, I need your help over here and over there. I'm good to go in this area, but it's in this other area that I need you to do something. We tend to do that, don't we? And when we do, we're denying the shepherdhood of God. Why do we do that? Well, I think there can be a number of reasons, but I think the bottom line reason is we're just not quite sure if we can trust him with all our lives like that. Which brings us to the second part of our verse. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There it is. How's that for credibility? Again, a little context. Jesus' remarks were not only meant to be trust-inducing for some of his listeners, but they were also intended as a rebuke for others of his listeners, namely the religious leaders of the day. They were supposed to be good shepherds, but they cared more for their own well-being and protecting their own interests than for the interests of their sheep. But Jesus is not like that, and he proved it by laying down his life for his sheep. That's incredible. This shepherd who knows you, who knows everything about you, top to bottom, has laid down his life for you. A slightly more literal translation of this word verse would say, I, the good shepherd, I lay down my life instead of the sheep. I take their place. It's a glorious substitution. Jesus says, basically, yes, they're sheep. Yes, they're foolish. Yes, they're rebellious. They can't protect themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't find their way without me. But in spite of all their wrongdoings and limitations, I love them, and I lay down my life for them. This Holy Week, we are entering into a time where we have the opportunity to dwell on the sacrifice of our great shepherd. Picture, if you can, Jesus hanging on the cross. And then let's ask the classic question. Shepherd, what are you doing on that cross? Why is the Father forsaking you? Why? The answer, for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. My encouragement to you this week is to rest in this truth. Rest in him. Rest in your shepherd. He's got you. There's a lot going on in this world that is unsettling, isn't there? But despite all that is swirling around us, we can rest in him. He knows what's going on in this world, and he knows what's going on with you, and he knows what you need. There's nothing he can't handle. No problem too large, no sin too big, no virus too menacing, no cross he can't bear. Friends, let us rest in our shepherd. Let me just end with the beautiful words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.